parish has told us. In number one, we have the story of this week's Seder that Yitzchak moves to Gror, the land of Plishtim, because there's a famine in the land. It seems to be a repeat of what took place in the days of Avram. There's a famine in the land, so therefore he goes to Gror, and the shepherds of Gror begin to contend with Yitzchak, because Yitzchak starts digging wells. Not only starts digging wells, he starts digging again those wells that Avram Avinu had dug in his days, and then the Plishtim closed them up, which of course is something unbelievable. This is an area of the world that needs water desperately, and they simply stopped up the wells because they didn't want any of Avram's wells. And here Yitzchak is now the one who is digging those wells all over again. And then there's a struggle about the first well, and so he called the name of the bear Esek Ki Hit Askuimo, because they contended with him. Vayachbru Be'er Acheret, they dug another well, Vayorivu Gamola, and they argued about that too. Vayikrosh Mos Sitna, he called the name of that well Hatred, because Yitzchak is beginning to get the idea that they don't like him too much. Because it seems not to make sense that they're struggling with him about the wells. Everybody can enjoy and benefit from the wells. Vayatet Misham, he moved from there, Vayachbor Be'er Acheret, and he dug another well. And this time already, Lo Ravu Allah, there was no struggle over the well. Vayikro Shemor Rechovot, and he called the name of the place Rechovot. Vayomer, he said, Kiyato, Hirchev Hashem Lonu Farinu Be'aretz. Now, we can spread out in the land and we can be fruitful. There's peace has come to the land. Very strange. Everything's going well. I am so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. I used this line twice today. And the first time I said it, I really had nothing in mind. I didn't have the pun in mind. And a whole class burst into laughter. And then all of a sudden it struck me. Hey, pretty good. I used it in the second class. They didn't get it. I said it over three times. So, Gornish Gehof. And you, I used the same line, and you responded very, very beautifully. I'm proud of you all. Anyway, everything's going nicely for Yitzchak. And when it's going nicely, it says, Vayal Misham Be'er Sheva. He went up from there to Be'er Sheva. Things are going nicely. Why do you leave Rehovot? Stay in Rehovot. And what may even be more fascinating and puzzling, Vayedo Elav Hashem Balailo, who that night God appeared to him, Vayom, and he said, Onochi Elokei Avram Avicha, I'm the God of your father Avram, Al Tira, don't be afraid. Ki Yitcho Onochi, because I'm with you, Veirachticha, and I will bless you, Vihirbeiti et Zaracha Ba'avur Avram Avdi, and I'm going to make your children many because of Avram, my servant. What? He's afraid now? Isn't it strange? When they're struggling with him, it would have been extremely comforting if the Rebbeinu Shalom, in the middle of a serious struggle over a be'er, the Rebbeinu Shalom would have appeared to him and told him, Yitzchak, Al Tira, don't be afraid. There's something strange. It seems like the Rebbeinu Shalom is appearing to him A little late, after it's all over. It's all fine. Everything's great. And then the Rebbeinu Shalom comes along and says, Al Tira. By the way, we're going to see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Avram Avinu, Al Tira. He also says to Yaakov Avinu, Al Tira. And we're going to investigate each one of these cases. And you know what we're going to find out? Very fascinating. Each one of them, it comes what seems to be a little too late. Avram Avinu is notified that Lot has been captured. He goes out to war against the axis of evil, the four mighty powers, the quartet. And that takes a great deal of courage as he begins to ride out that night, having absolutely no clue if he's going to be successful in battle. He would have gotten a message from the Rabbeinu Shalom, Avram, Al Tira, don't be afraid. Oh, would that have gone a long way? You know what he's told Al Tira? After he is victorious over the four mighty kings, and he comes back with all of the people who he has saved, to understand all of the hostages that were taken. He didn't lose half of his hostages in his attempt to save them. He knows how to save hostages. That was Entebbe 1, you understand. The Russians tried Entebbe 3. What a korban they made over there. But all right. Here's Entebbe 1. He goes out and he brings them all back. And take a look, the whole world, the leadership of the world, praises him. They go out toward him. The king of Sodom goes out. Melchizedek, king of Jerusalem, goes out. They Baruch Avram Lekel Elyon, blessed as Avram to the Almighty God. Migain Sodekobiodeko, the one who gave your oppressors over into your hand. He's the darling of the world. And then after that episode is over, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to him in a dream at night and he tells him, Avram, Al Tira, don't be afraid. Isn't it a little late? Wouldn't it have been a great deal more meaningful if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have appeared to him as he begins to ride out that fateful night in order to wage war with the four great kings? Doesn't come then. Yaakov Avinu has suffered. He suffered with Esav. He suffered with Lavan. He had to flee from Esav. He comes to Lavan. He flees from Lavan. On the way back, who is he confronted with? Esav coming toward him with 400 men armed to the teeth. He's had a lot of problems. 40, 50 years of problems. And during all of that time, the Rebbeinu Shem hasn't appeared to him to tell him Al Tira. Do you know when he tells him Al Tira? Don't be afraid. After he finds out that Yosef is alive, and that Yosef is the second in command in Mitzrayim, and he says, Eilech, I'm going to go down to Mitzrayim and see my son before I die. He comes to Be'er Sheva. He stops in Be'er Sheva on the way down. And that night, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to him and says, Al Tira, don't be afraid. May the door Mitzrayim from going down to Mitzrayim. Don't you think in the dark of night, as he's, maybe when he's struggling with the Malach, we forgot about that. He's struggling with the Malach. And what happens if the Rebbeinu Shem would have told him, Al Tira, don't be afraid? What happens when he's confronted, he sees Esav coming toward him, the Rebbeinu Shem would tell him, Yaakov, take it easy. Al Tira. Ki Yitzchak Anochi, I'm with you. I'm the God of your father Avram, the God of your father Yitzchak. No, the Rebbeinu Shem doesn't appear to him that. When it seems that everything is going well, a little late it would seem, that's when the Rebbeinu Shem appears to him. Before the shiur is over, we'll get back to answering that question. But in order to do so, what we're going to have to begin with is an analysis of the personality of Yitzchak. Yitzchak, I think, is of all the Avos, he's the least understood of the Avos. He doesn't seem, you know, from the peak of the Akedah, we come into Parshas Toldos. Doesn't seem that he does anything except he digs these wells. He does enter into a covenant called, should have been called Be'er Sheva too. You understand? Avimelech, king of Plishtim, had entered into a covenant which we call Be'er Sheva 1 with Avraham Avinu, and he violated it. You understand? He violated it. Now he comes to Yitzchak to enter into another agreement, and Yitzchak enters into an agreement with him. But we don't get this. What is Yitzchak? What is Yitzchak? There is a shir of Rav Soloveitchik. I'm going to use that as the base
to move further. In the morning, Birchas HaShachar, the brachas in the morning, we make a bracha. One of them is Ozer Yisrael b'Gevura. There's a version who girds the Jewish people with Gevura. There's another bracha, Hanotein LaYoiv Koyach, the one who gives strength to the weak, the fatigued, the exhausted. What's the difference between Koach and Gevura? And not only that, what's very, very fascinating, and here we'll take a look at number four, a paragraph from the Nativ Binatz, a perush on Tefillah. All the Birchot HaShachar appear in the Gemara in Masechet Brachot, except one. One bracha was made up at some later date, and we're not sure precisely when. And that's the bracha of Hanotein LaYoev Koach. It's a highly unusual phenomenon that at some point in history, after the period of the Tanoim, after the period of the Amoraim, at some later point in history, somebody composes a bracha called Hanotein LaYoev Koach, and it makes its way into the Siddurim, and everybody says it. So it says the following. Number four, left-hand side, Hanotein LaYoev Koach, Ein HaBracha HaZot Nishkedet V'Talmud, this bracha that is not mentioned in the Gemara. The Avud Ram, one of the Rishonim who explains Tefillah, says, he brings another bracha that's not mentioned in Talmud called the bracha of Magbi HaShvalim, the one who raises the low. You never heard of the bracha? That's okay. You didn't hear the bracha because that didn't make it. It just didn't make it. It appeared in some Siddurim. Yud Ber B'Seder Avodas Yisrael maybe brings many authors and Siddurim that do mention this bracha, but for some reason or another, Ein Onu Noagin La'omra, it didn't make it into our Siddurim, and it's not our custom to say that bracha. The bracha of Anotein Le'ov Kach, so the Tur already is the forerunner of the Shulchan Aruch. The Tur is a Rishon. He's the Rabbeinu Yaakov Bal HaTurim, who is the son of the Rosh, Rabbeinu Asher, we're talking about 800 years ago. So he brings the following comment. Yesh b'sidurei Ashkenaz, in the Sidurim in Ashkenaz, he means Germany over here, the whole Rhineland area. He says that there's their Sidurim have a bracha, Baruch Ato Hashem, Anotein LaYoev Koach, V'nitkena. Why was it written? I don't know who wrote it, but he says it was written. Al she'odam mafkid nishmaso be'ered b'yad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rebbein Shem, Klal Yisrael, the Jew, gives over his neshama to the Rebbein Shem for safekeeping overnight. Night, when he's exhausted, the neshama is oiz gemuchit and oiz gevei. U'machzir alo, and the Rebbein Shem returns him a neshama in the morning, assuming he had a good night's sleep. He sends him back a neshama, that's chadosha, it's a new one. U'rigi'a, and it's a very relaxed night, very relaxed, a terrific neshama. Bal iyun tefillah, the iyun tefillah is the Rabbi Yaakov Mecklenburg, the Bal Aksava Kabbalah, who wrote a parish on the Siddur in the Siddur Otzer HaTfilos. Mishaer, he theorizes, Hash'oro ru'uyo l'shikol adat, it's something that we have to consider, maybe because we don't have anything better than that. The Davke Ashkenaz in Germany, Eretz Shebonit Rabu Atzarot La'Amenu B'mei HaBinayim, a land in which there was so much tzaras that our people suffered during the Middle Ages, Matzul Nachon L'Takein Birchat Idud, they found it necessary to compose a bracha of encouragement. Eis gemutschit and eis gewegte Yidin from all of the tzaras, they needed a bracha of Anotein La'yoev Korach. L'regilim l'sevel, those who had already become accustomed to suffering, b'domer, similar to the sentences that we say in Marid, b'domer l'mishpatim b'birchat ha'gulah shel kriyat shema, where we say, ha'madricheinu al b'mayto yiveinu, God is the one who leads us on the high places against our enemies, v'yorim kaneinu al kol seinenu, and he lifts our crown above all of those who hate us. So here we have two brachas, Ozei Yisrael b'gura, and Anotein LaYoev Koach. What's the difference between Koach and Gvura? The difference is that Koach speaks of physical strength. Physical strength. Muscles. The ability to fight. Korach, an animal has Korach, a man has Korach. Gevura is something of a completely different nature. Gevura is not necessarily related to any kind of physical strength, but Gevura is that which is related to emotional strength, spiritual strength, strength of the will, volitional. Ezehu Gibor, who is called a Gibor, Pirkei Avos says, Hakovesh es Yitzro, the one who is able to conquer his evil inclination. We're not talking about somebody who uses physical strength in order to conquer the evil inclination, the Yitzhahara. This calls already for an emotional and spiritual strength. We say in davening, Pasuk in Tilim, lo b'gevuras hasus yechbatz, v'lo b'shokei ha'ishir, it said, God doesn't want the strength, the gevura of the sus. By the way, the pshat in the pasuk is, we're not talking about the gevura of the sus, of the horse, we're talking about the gevura of the rider of the sus. Just as the second part of the pasuk says, v'lo b'shokei ha'ish yirtzeh. The thighs, the forms, the strong thighs of man, was able to move and go. First half of the pasuk is talking about gevura, and the second half of the pasuk is talking about koach. My wife pointed out to me, Pirkei Avos says, ben shloshim lekoach, ben shmonim legevura. 30 years old, so people may have a great deal of physical strength. But there's a gevura that comes with maturity, with age. That's ben shmonim. Then one knows the world, and one knows the world well. Then comes a kind of gevura that is unknown to younger people. So the Rav translates gevura as heroism. Heroism. That's his translation. Heroism is the pshat, the one who is going to enter a struggle when his rational mind would tell him the battle is lost. Logic would dictate you don't stand a chance. And despite that, one enters into the struggle. That calls not for koach. There what's required is gevura. Gevura means to struggle even when the odds are against you. When rationality advises not to resist, surrender. Because rationally the war is lost. Gevura, this is a classic sentence of the Rav, gevura means to do the absurd, the paradoxical. It makes no sense. Fact is, the rational mind isn't always right. Do you know what happens sometimes in history? That gevura is stronger than koach. Heroism is able to bring koach to its knees. Al HaNisim, it's the second day of Rosh Chodesh, Kislev, Al HaNisim, Val HaPurkon, Val HaGevuros. Do you know what it was that the Hashmonaim had? What chance did they stand against the legions of Greece? Alexander the Great, the hordes of Greece, world conquerors, Agilechta, a handful of Jews are going to stand up against the Greek Empire. That's not koach. Yehuda HaMakabi and Matityahu didn't necessarily lift weights. Yehuda HaMakabi and his brothers and his father possessed gevura, not necessarily koach. All the koach was with the Greeks. But then when you're going to finally come to Hanukkah, you're going to think, oh, we have a kash on Rabbi Gold, because it says later on in Al HaNisim, Mosarto Giborim Biyad Chaloshim. You gave the Giborim into the hands of the Chaloshim. So I say, you know what the pshat in Al HaNisim is? That's precisely the pshat. Don't make the mistake of thinking that the Greeks were only physically strong, but were not heroic people. They were physically strong, and they were heroic. And despite that, Mosarto Giborim Biyad Chaloshim, you gave Giborim into the hands of the weak. That's the Nes. The Nes isn't simply heroism pitted against brute strength. Because very often heroism can outweigh brute strength. The great miracle of Hanukkah is that they had heroism too. They were mighty people. I mean, it takes great will to conquer a world. But Sartre Dibodin Biad Haloshim. Chaya, this is your last class, and you said a very good bark. Because what this shir is going to be saying is, and Chazal tells us this, the Sifrei HaKabbalah, Sifrei Chassidus, Avram was Chesed, Yitzchak was Gevura. Do you know why Yitzchak is Gevura? All his Gevura is based on the fact that he received Emunah from his father. And he took the Emunah, the faith, the abiding faith of Avraham Avinu, and he translated it into the real everyday world. And do you know what Emunah is able to give to a person? Gvura, heroism. If you believe in something, if you know that there's a higher ideal, there's something to work toward, there's something to fight for, that's when you have Gevurah. A person who has no ideals will have no Gevurah. The Emunah of Avraham Avinu becomes the raw material from which Yitzchak becomes the man of Gevurah. He got it from his father. The characteristic, we're going to see a beautiful quote from the Rav right away. The unique characteristic of the Jewish people throughout history is their gvura. It takes gvura to be an am levodad, a people that lives alone. It takes gvura to survive in a world that's always against you. We've only had very, very, very brief periods in all of history that we were the darlings of the world. The first time it cost us 6 million, which was of course a high price to be the world's darlings. And this, well, maybe a third time. The second was after the Six-Day War because everybody was so stunned by what had taken place. And then also July 4th, 1976. July 4th, 1976, that was Entebbe. We were the darlings of the world. Since then, it's been business as usual. Anti-Semitism is rampant in the world. We're all alone. What did we ever do to anybody? It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. It takes great gevura to be an am levodot, to be alone. It took great gevura for Yitzchak to go to the Akedah willingly. There were periods of time for our parents. It was gevura to be a Shomer Shabbos and an Ochel Kashrus. They think it was always so simple. No, you can choose whether you want this badatz or you want that badatz. That's not what the choice that our parents had. What are you talking about? This badatz or that badatz. Kosher or treifin, it wasn't too easy to get kosher. It took gevura. It doesn't mean to say that we don't have gevura. Let me make one thing clear. I hold that any Jew today in Eretz Yisrael has gevura. Has gevura. You know, there are times at which I think, boy, I'd like to live on a farmhouse in Montana someplace. Not another human being around for miles. No radio, no TV, just moose and I don't know, rabbits, who knows what else happens. It's never driven through country in America. You know, in America you can drive the whole length of what's Eretz Yisrael and see one or two farmhouses. It must be so tranquil, it must be so peaceful. Here, of course, there's never a dull moment. You're mummy from 1 hour to the next. I haven't listened to the news for a few hours. I'm sure that all sorts of things have happened that I may never know about them altogether, but it's okay. The next news report will be exciting or painful, usually painful. It takes gevura. It takes gevura to be a Jew today in the world. It takes gevura to be a Jew living in Eretz Yisrael. There's no question about it. Unfortunately, today we also have to demonstrate gevura to fellow Jews in Eretz Yisrael. Not easy to stand up against the barrage of criticism that comes against the religious, the datiyim, the mitnachalim, of course, are the they're the root of all evil. It takes a great deal of courage and a great deal of strength. Vayivater Yaakov levado. Yaakov has that struggle with the malach. He also remains alone. Avram is alone. Avram kol holam kula. The whole world is on one side. V'hu me'ever hasheni. He's on the other side. Yitzchak is really left alone. He doesn't have a friend left in the world. He struggled with everybody. Yitzchak has another problem. You know what Yitzchak's problem is? Yitzchak's problem is there's something about everything that has to do with his birth and his growing up. We constantly hear of laughter. His name is Yitzchak. But Thomas Sora said, "Tzchokos Lilakim." God, according to Targum Onkelus, it means "Tzchokos Lilakim," something that causes me joy. Targum Yonatan says, "No, I'm going to be a joke. I'm going to be a joke. Kol Hashomei, anybody who's going to hear about this, Yitzchakli, is going to laugh at me." Vatedes Soro saw as Ben, the son of Hogar HaMitzris, Mitzachek. He's making fun of. He's making fun of Yitzchak. Yitzchak is a joke. We have that unusual, exceptional Rashi at the beginning of the Sedna on the second side, number 7. Ve'ela todos Yitzchak ben Avram. These are the generations, the first pasuk of the parasha. These are the generations of Yitzchak, the son of Avram. Avram holy did Yitzchak. Avram gave birth to Yitzchak. I mean, obviously the pasuk is so difficult to read. If you say that these are the generations of Yitzchak, the son of Avram, what does that mean? It doesn't mean that Avram gave birth to Yitzchak. Why does the pasuk repeat it? So Rashi says Avram holy did Yitzchak. So the first shot Rashi says is, you know what the second part of the pasuk, when the pasuk says Avram gave birth to Yitzchak, that you know when he was able to give birth to Yitzchak, not when his name was Avram, but after his name was changed to Avram, you should know it's Avram who gave birth to Yitzchak. After HaKadosh Baruch Hu called him Avram, after that, holy did Yitzchak, he gave birth to Yitzchak. Dover Achar, another pshat. When the pasuk wrote that Yitzchak is the son of Avram, whose kakloma the pasuk had to say Avram holy did Yitzchak, Avram gave birth to Yitzchak. Why? Why does it become necessary to say that? Because the jokers of the generation or the scoffers of the generation said, "May Avimelech nisabro Zara." You know when Sarah became pregnant? When she was in the house of Avimelech. You think this is Avram's son? What are you talking about? I mean, by the way, I don't know whether these people should be called Leitzanim. These are people that should be called Rishayim. A joke is a joke, but this is ugliness of the lowest order. So take a look. The Rabbi Shmuel also has a pretty good sense of humor. A very healthy one. Rashi goes on to say, that Leitzani Ador said, "May Avimelech Nisabra Sora became pregnant from Avimelech. Sharei Kama Shonim Shah Saim Avram." She lived so many years with Avram, Velo Nisabra Heimen, when she didn't become pregnant from him. And now, after she comes out of the house of Avimelech, you know, some while later, she's already pregnant. I mean, there's something ridiculous about it all. Because whichever way you look at it, it has to be an awesome miracle, regardless of whom she became pregnant from. But that's not the point. The point is, the Rebbe Yisrael, he gets the last laugh the Rebbe Yisrael has. He made Yitzchak the spitten image of Avram. You take one look at this. Yitzchak, it's mamish, it's two peas in a pod. Here they would say, shtei tipot mayim, two drops of water. Anybody who looks at him must exclaim that Avram holy is Yitzchak. Don't tell me you're narishkeit that it was Me'avi Melech Nisabra Zara. Nonsense! What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? Ma'as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what did he do? Sar klasta upon Shem Yitzchak, he fashioned the form of Isaac's face, domel Avram, to resemble Avram. The heidu hakol, everybody testified, Avram holid es Yitzchak. That's why it says over here in the pasuk, Yitzchak ben Avram haya. You know why we know that Yitzchak is ben Avram? Because there's testimony. You know what the testimony is? Everybody's walking around and saying, Avram holid es Yitzchak. You can take a look and you can see it. Leitzoni Ador were really just picking up on all of the mirth, humor, scoffing of Yitzchak. You know why? Because they were convinced that while Avram is a great man, Avram is a revolutionary, the genius that we've talked about for weeks. But they were convinced, everybody was convinced, that the message of Avram is simply not going to last in the world. It's too demanding. It requires too much of human beings. Avram was a flash in the pan. Avram is a passing stage. Following Avram, there's not going to be a second generation. Who? Yitzchak. Yitzchak is a joke. What is Yitzchak? Nothing. They were sure it's all over. The Sedra begins with the world laughing at Yitzchak. Litzonei Ador, they can make. By the way, I have my own pshat that occurred to me today on Me'avimelech Nis'abro Soro. You know what they're saying? Even if Avram is the one who gave birth, but this child is not going to be the child of Avram. He's going to go his own way. Because Avram and the demands that he makes on people is simply something that's not going to last. It's all over. And that's all. He may be a footnote in history someplace. That's all, no more than that. Didn't they say it about orthodoxy in the United States of America? In the 40s and the 50s, they said it's all over. It's all over. Conservative movement began building major temples throughout the United States. Right, they said Orthodox Jewry is finished. There are a few guys kvetching a bank in Williamsburg and on the east side. It's gone, the whole thing is nothing and nothing. It's all over. Boy, did the laugh, the smirk was wiped off the faces when the most, obviously the most vibrant and strongest segment of the Jewish community is the Orthodox Jew. They thought that Yitzchak, it happens at times that great men have very mediocre children. Very mediocre children. Yitzchak is a child. And they said, May Avimelech, this Avro Sorrow. Sorrow became pregnant through Avimelech. You know what it means? He's going to go in the footsteps of Avimelech. He's not going to go in the footsteps of Avram. That's all over. And then they get a little unnerved when they see that he's digging the wells that Avram, his father, had dug, and they had covered them up. Why did they cover up the wells? Because they wanted to remove any memory of Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu gave the wells names that represented God's presence in the world. They want to rid the world of Avram and his whole message. And then they find this Yitzchak is now digging up these wells again. And not only is he digging them, he is sticking to his guns. He's struggling, and he doesn't give up. All of a sudden, they begin to take a look. Wait, this is not what we thought was going to happen. Yitzchak is the image, the spiritual image of Avram. Avram holiness Yitzchak. That's what they're going to find out in this Sedra. They're going to find out that Avram holiness Yitzchak. That Avram has a second generation. And they're also going to find out that Avram is going to have a third generation. And when all of them are long going to be forgotten, you understand? The children of Avram are still going to be around. The laughter simply peters out into a sour look on the face. How wrong could we have been? You know what happens in this Sedra? They begin to take Yitzchak seriously. That's what happens to Yaakov. That night that he struggles with the Malach, and finally as it comes toward morning, so the Malach says to him, Shalcheni,
send me away ki olah hashachar, because it's dawn. And Yaakov says, lo hashalechach, I'm not going to send you away ki im beirachtani unless you bless me. Yaakov accomplished nothing in that whole struggle, except one extremely significant thing. He didn't conquer territory. He didn't get anything. You know what he got? They took him seriously. The Malach says, Shalcheni, let me go. Let me go. You know what happens in this Sedra? They begin to take Yitzhak seriously. What happens after all this story? After how the Rav Yishuv says, Al Tira, don't be afraid. You know what happens? They come to make a treaty with the Yitzhak that the Sedra began with the sound of laughter and scoffing. Me'avimelech, Nisabra Saga, Avimelech now comes to make a treaty with this Yitzhak. They take him seriously. He exists. Parenthetic comment, but it may have to do. I said it Friday night, I'm sure. I said it right here, over here. Last week, like every week, but maybe last week was even a bit more than others. It was a crazy, crazy week. And Sunday there was the pigua in Ariel. Tuesday there was the pigua in Chermesh. The government began to unravel, you understand, for the most serious of all reasons. The government unravels. It's a joke that a government should fall apart because of a supposed 700 million shekel to hit Nachaluyot. You understand? The whole thing is shekel, it's Sinas Yisrael, it's anti-Semitism. But the Revelation has a sense of humor. The whole week I was upset. And then before I come to shul, Friday, I listened to the 4 o'clock news. 4:14 was candle lighting, no? So I listened to the 4 o'clock news. The 4 o'clock news. The announcer, the Karyanit, whoever it was, Adi Rabban, you know, you want to try to remember all their names. So she says that 25,000 Jews have come to spend Shabbos in Hebron and Kiryat Arba. And even the way she said it, you can hear how incredulous she is. 25,000 Jews come to Kiryat Arba. Understand? The same Ben Eliezer who at the beginning of the week gave instructions that the Israeli army is moving out of Hebron. They moved back in on Friday. You have to protect 25,000 Jews. That's 25,000 Jews come to... They can't believe it. They can't believe it. We thought we're any day now we're going to move those settlers out of heaven, and then come 25,000 people to Shabbat. The Ruach was unbelievable. Okay, yeah, that's right. So here it is, Ben Eliezer at the beginning of the week is the big hero who's going to take down a few tin buildings in Chabad Gilad, and he's getting ready for a major offensive at Givat Asaf, right outside of Beit El. And he's going to move his early brother from Hebron. And then we have a few young people here in Shul who are stationed in Hebron. They said they never moved out altogether. Nobody really moved out. They all remained in Hebron. The army is there. So I said the following in Shul. The Gemara says that how do we know that when a person marries, your Mekadesh and Isha, you can sanctify a woman through Kesef, with money. We use a ring. Harei Av Mekudesh et Li, V'tabat Zu Kedat Moshe V'Yisrael. Right? How do we know this? So the Gemara says, Gzeirushava means you have a word here, and you have a similar word there. What applies here, applies there. So here is a famous Gzeirushava. Any young man who's learned Gemara for a few years comes up with this Gzeirushava. Kicha, kicha. It says, ki yikach ishisha, a man is going to take a woman unto himself. And it says that when Avram buys the Mara Samach Pela, natati kesef asada, I've given the money for the field, kach mi meni, take from me the money. It says here, kicha, and it says there, kicha. So just like here he bought the field with money, so too a man can acquire a woman through money. And of course, feminists most probably at this point are getting all terribly upset. In other words, a woman, you just purchase her like you would a camel, a dog, a cat, a caress. You buy a stickle real estate, so you buy a woman. it's enough to get any feminist upset. All right. Because they don't understand. You're going to understand. Gzeirah Shavah has to be understood. What do you mean? Because a word here and a word there, by the way, Gzeirah Shavah only comes from Sinai. You can't make up your own Gzeirah Shavah. So there's another famous Gzeirah Shavah. The other famous Gzeirah Shavah is, how do you know you need a minion? How do you know you need 10 Jews to say Kaddish, Kedusha, answer on the Yehishne, Rabbah, Davin for the Tefillah B'Tziba? How do you know you need 10 Jews? So listen to this. There's another Gzeirah Shavah. And if you remember this, you know, you can really impress your friends with your vast knowledge of Talmud. There's a Gzeirah Shavah called Toch. And then it's going to be Eda. I'll explain. It says in Torah, V'nigdashti b'toch b'nei Yisrael, I will be sanctified amidst the children of Israel. The word Toch. By the Korach community, God says, He bodlu, separate yourself, me Toch. Get out of the midst of that community. So it says, Toch, by Kiddush Hashem, Kiddushosh, Baruchu, meaning, and it says the word Toch, by Adas Korach. But how do we know it means 10? So we have to make another connection. The next connection, it says, by Korach, he bodlu mi Toch, ha'edah, ha'roah, ha'zos, separate from the midst of this evil community. And by the Meraglim, it says, Eidah, the Adat HaMeraglim. How many Meraglim were there? 10. Does that make sense to you? You understand? Hashena, a very beautiful way to find out that 10 Yidin standing and saying Kaddish and Kedush, you understand? You learn it from, you need Kairach, and you need the Meraglim, and you got yourself a Gzeirah Shavah, Toch, Eidah, and this came from Sinai. So what one must understand is, Gzeirah Shavah is not simply two similar words. There are ideas behind the Gzeirah Shavah. And I'll explain these two to you. Do you know what we learn from the Meraglim? Something awesome. The terribly destructive power of 10 people. 10 people can bring down a nation of 600,000. Will die in the desert, never enter Eretz Yisrael, because of 10 people. Awesome, frightening power of evil of 10 people. Not only that, they cause an aveda for which Klal Yisrael suffers ad hayom hazeh. Adas HaMeraglim. If this is what can be accomplished by 10 evil people, can you now imagine what can be accomplished by 10 good Jews who stand and say, Amen Yehesh Mechava. The Gemara says that goodness is 500 times stronger than evil. If that's the power of 10 Meraglim, 10 Jews, the Balatani says that a Malach cannot stand in the presence of 10 Jews. A Malach, the Balatani says it, in the Tanya. A Malach is consumed by the sanctity of 10 Jews. 10 Pashat Deyidin. That's what we're learning from the Rabbah. The awesome strength, the might of 10 people. And from the field of Ephraim, the Maras HaMachpelah, that Avram bought it with Kesef. Oy, do you know what that Gzeirah Shavah means? Avram Avinu was ready to spend all the money in the world to buy that burial place for Sarah, whom he loves more dearly than anything else in the world. The whole scene that takes place over there is all the result of his deep, his abiding, his powerful love for Sarah. That's why he buys the Maras HaMachpelah. He's not buying a piece of real estate. This isn't the deal where he's going to cut the best deal. He would have paid anything for it. You know what? I have a sneaky suspicion that until his dying day, Ephron kicked himself. I could have asked for 1,000 shekels. I could have Jewed him out of 1,000 shekels. I'm sure that he was aggravated until his dying day. I have no feelings for him. That's okay. Ephron would pay anything. Why would he pay anything? Because his love for Sarah is so deep, so profound. Ki yikach ish isha. has to be in the same way of the Nasati Kesef Hasadev Kachimeni. I've given the money for the field, take it for me. That's what it has to be. You're not buying another shtick real estate. You know what you're buying? You're buying the eternity of Klal Yisrael. You would have told Ephron that 4,000 years later, 24,000 Jews are going to come to Hebron for Shabbos. Ephron would have laughed. Because Ephron, like all of the rest of them, thought that as soon as the grass covers the graves of Avram and Sarah, they're all finished. It's all done. Passing phase was a great man, great ideas, but his ideas are much ahead of his time. Nobody's really going to. And then, you know what? It becomes them black before the eyes when they take a look at Yitzchak and they see Avram holding at Yitzchak. This Avram has created a second generation. You know, and you know what the second generation is? The second generation has taken the Emunah of Avram and has turned it into a source of awesome strength, great gevurah, heroism. That's the dimension that Yitzchak adds to the Klal Yisrael. And all of that heroism is necessary just to survive, to be alone, yeah? That they scoffed at him and they laughed at him all of those years. Shmuel laughed at him. What are you talking about? Well, it's probably Ephron and all of the Chittites and the Plish. They all laughed at Yitzchak. They all laughed at Yitzchak. Who is Yitzchak? They're convinced that Avram is not going to have a future. So Yitzchak, now after everything is going well, we used that line already. I just meant it now. Simple. First, the heir is called Asek. The second one is called Sitnah. And the third now, he calls it Rechovot. Ki ato hirchav Hashem lanu. Now God has made things great for us. We're going to be fruitful in the land. Vaya'al Mishon Be'er Sheva. From there he goes to Be'er Sheva. Why does he go to Be'er Sheva? Everything's so good now. Everything's so good. The smirks have been wiped off their faces. They're taking him seriously. The Malach takes Yaakov Avinu seriously. They're not passing fancies anymore. They're going to be part of the world scene. La'olam Vaed. Rav Shamshon of Fol Hirsch says, Vayam Yishon Be'er Sheva, from Rehovot he goes up to Be'er Sheva. So he says, he leaves Rehovot. Because you know what he's afraid of? He's afraid that it may be too good in Rehovot. Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are going to express precisely the same idea. And the idea is, unfortunately, or fortunately, a lot of ways to look at it, the Jew thrives in adversity. When we have an enemy, our identity is clearly defined. We have absolutely no problem knowing who we are and what we are. But when it's going good, when everything is fine, then there's an extreme, extreme danger. And of course, the most tragic example in all of Jewish history is American Jewry. American Jewry is a tragedy unparalleled in Jewish history. How many times have I said it? I must have said it a number of times. We were three sons, three brothers, and my father in the 50s asked us one night, praise a Friday night, this will Yidin's on the Paran in America. How many Jews are there in America? We thought, 6 million. In the 60s, he asked, this will Yidin's on the Paran in America. 6 million. And he asks in the 70s, this will Yidin's on the Paran in America. So he told him, 6 million. He says, Achrashtainish, I don't understand. 6 million, 20, 30 years ago, it should have been 20 million today. He's absolutely right. His math wasn't off at all. We thrive in times of adversity. We can't forget that we're Jewish. Rav Shamshon Volhirsch says, therefore, when all of a sudden Yitzhak gets this feeling of Apa Hirchav Hashem Lanu, everything is going okay. Uforin Ubaretz Vayam Yisham. From there he goes up to Beersheba. Why does he go to Beersheba? Because Beersheba really, that was the place of Avram. That's where he draws all of his sustenance from. Yaakov is going to come to Beersheba, stop in Beersheba on his way down to Mitzrayim, because that's the crossroads, the place where Klal Yisrael began to meet up with the nations of the world. Plishtim come to make a treaty with him in Beersheba. Beersheba is the tzomet, the juncture in history where Klal Yisrael comes face to face with the adversity of nations of the world. When Yitzchak needs a shot in the arm, he goes to Beersheba. When Yaakov needs encouragement, he goes to Beersheba. Avram, when he reaches the peak and the pinnacle of his success, he has just destroyed the four evil powers of the world. There is nobody as respected, held in awe, as Avram Avinu. Everybody's coming out to bless him. Unbelievable! Avram Avinu was at the height of his popularity. That's what he's frightened of. And that's when the Rebbe Yisrael appears to him and tells him, Al Tira, Avram, don't be worried. Schar Kohavi will get great, great reward. Yitzchak has, he's won the struggle of the wells. Nobody's laughing at him anymore. They're not saying, Niavi Melech Nisabra Sala, you know what they're saying? Avram, hold it as Yitzchak. This Yitzchak has the character and the personality, the strength, the kach, and the gevurah of Avraham Avinu. It's at that time that Yitzchak is concerned for the future. Can't be too good. We don't survive when it's too good. And that's what the Rebbeinu appears to him and tells him, Al Tira. It's not too late when the Rebbeinu says it to him. The Rebbeinu is saying it to him just as he enters into a new period. And the period is that which frightens him. Yaakov Avinu is on his way down to Mitzrayim by invitation of the king of the mightiest empire in the world. And his son, the Mishnah Lamelech, is the most powerful man in the world. He's going to eat off the fat of the land. Things couldn't be better. His son is alive, and his son is mighty. It's great. You know what Avram is worried about? He's going to a country now that's immoral. He's going to a place that Torah is going to say, stay away from Toavot Mitzrayim, the abominations of Mitzrayim. He's worried for the future. Will he have a future? Avram had a Yitzchak. Yitzchak had a Yaakov. Yaakov is now worried what's going to be with his future. Was he wrong? He wasn't wrong. Chazal tell us that Klal Yisrael were removed from Egypt just moments before they might have been completely submerged under the powerful negative influence of Mitzrayim. At that point in time, Yaakov Avinu has a great deal to be afraid of, because things are just going too well, and that's what he's frightened of. And the Rebbeinu appears to him, he understands what's bothering him, and he tells him, Al Tira, don't be afraid. There is a future for Klal Yisrael. There's been an Avram, there's a Yitzchak and a Yaakov. There will be a future. And 4,000 years down the line, 25,000 people are going to come to Shabbos to Kiryat Arba, and all of these fellas who've been running around over here about we're removing the settlements for another 10,000 years, we're going to be around here, and Zevel Zech, Essen Leibedikahait. Is there any way to translate that into English? They're going to eat themselves up livingly as they watch Jews going to Jews moving into Yehuda B'Shalom. They lost. They missed the boat. They missed the boat. They lost it all. That's Yitzchak. Yitzchak is the one whose dimension and character becomes Gevura. That's what Chazal calls. Avraham Avinu is Chesed, Yitzchak is Gevura, Yaakov is going to become Tif'edet, beauty. In a sense, it's similar to Maim Chazal. Maim Chazal says that Avraham Avinu is the one that called that place Har Moriah. He called it Har, Bahar Hashem Yiroeh. Yitzchak called it Sodeh. So that by Yitzchak, Yitzchak went out Masuach to pray in the field. Yaakov calls it a house. Ein zeki im shar hashamayim. In his dream, he says, this is the gate of heaven, and this is Beit HaLikim, the house of God. Yitzchak is the colossus who stands in between an Avram and a Yaakov. Yaakov is the one who's going to create the house of Israel. Avram is the one that has climbed that great mountain. From nothing, he has picked himself up to become the great mind of all time. And the one who has to bridge the two, the one who has to do the work in the field to make sure that everything's going to grow and it's going to keep going, that's Yitzchak right there in the middle. The Korach of Yitzchak is Gevura. And no Tein Le'yav, Korach is one bracha, but it's Yitzchak who is Ozei Yisrael the Gevura. It's Yitzchak who makes sure that his son Yisrael is going to have the Gevura that will be necessary to survive throughout all of history. Yes.
Well, the Hebrew covering up, and it was the point of representing the nations.